History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So I'm scrolling last night on the socials, and I see my good friend.
We're not live yet.
Oh, yeah. We're so going to do this, girl.
Are we live right now?
We're so going to do this. And I'm scrolling, and I see a post from my good friend, Laura Schmidt, who owns Notes to Self Socks, entrepreneur, all this stuff. And I said to her, are you in town? I don't know why I thought you would be like in Europe now. I don't know why I thought that, but everyone's vacationing. And she's like, yeah, I'm in town. And I go, can you come into the program? Because I want to talk about this, not only the company you started, but kind of where it's heading. And for those of you who missed it, and she's got presents for you, Dan and Sam, there's something orange in here for you guys, just to let you know. There's something orange for you guys here. For those of you who do not know about Notes to Self, you have seen these in the stores. Are you in the airport, by the way?
Yes.
You are in the airport. But I want you to go back and tell everybody how this all started on the dashboard of your car. It's one of my favorite stories.
Oh, thank you, Dana. Well, it was 15 years ago, and my husband Garrett and I and our kids, who were teenagers at the time, were headed to Western Kansas to see Garrett's family. And I was reading about positive thinking and read that the subconscious mind is most open early in the morning and late at night in that half awake, half asleep time when the conscious filters aren't quite up yet. And I happened to have my tennis shoes kicked off and just socks on, and my feet were on the dashboard. And I looked at my toes and thought, what if I put the positive affirmations on the toes of the socks? Then twice a day, you'd be training your mind to think better thoughts without even trying. And then I thought, what if kids too young to read had "I am smart" on the toes of their socks? And they'd seen it so many times, they learned to say it and they believed it.
Did you verbalize this idea at the time in the car on the dashboard you saw your feet?
Not that whole part, because that part, the last part came a little later, but the idea I verbalized, and I have ideas all the time.
Oh, sure.
I'm constantly going, what if?
You guys are on a road trip, and you just say, what if I put positive affirmations on socks?
Yes.
And what was the response?
Oh, so Garrett, I give him credit because he is very positive, but he said something either neutral or positive, and I don't even remember what he said, but it was enough to encourage me to take the next step of, like, how would I make socks?
Like, if I was going to do this.
Yes.
Because I was teasing this before we went to break. Laura, everyone has them. Everyone wears them. We don't think about it much, but why not use it for something good? Because there's rarely a day that goes by, unless you're throwing on flip-flops, that we don't have these things. Right?
Right.
So you start where? In your basement?
Yeah, just on a kitchen table. Yes. And just started figuring out, like, how are socks made, and, you know, sent out for samples. I wanted them to be made in the U.S., which they are.
You knew nothing about socks?
No.
How they were? You just knew that you owned them and you put them on your feet?
Yes. Yes. I knew which kind I liked.
Okay.
You know, I liked a little cushion. I liked a little arch support, you know. And I got samples and started doing small orders, and I would put them in my trunk, and I'd go to events like, you know, Twitter for Entrepreneurs or whatever.
Yes.
And I'd be at the event, and you know how they'll ask you to introduce yourself and tell about yourself. And I would tell my new idea, and they'd say, do you have any socks with you? And I'd go, I actually do, in the car. So they'd follow me out to the trunk and they'd exchange cash for socks. And it was like confirmation that somebody other than someone that loved me was interested in these socks.
So you guys, one of the things I love, because this is also folded in with our good friend Mindy Corporan and all of the great work she does with the 7 Days Foundation, you always have socks as part of that program that have affirmations on them. But when your toes are up, you will see something that says, like, I am amazing. I am smart. And then on the entire bottom of the sock, it says amazing, smart, warm, brave. I love that one. Greatness. Then you did one. This was one of my favorites, that says being me. Being me.
And look at the toe.
And the toe says, the world needs me. You knew there was a need in this space because of the mental health crisis in America.
Yes.
How did you know? How did you know? not that, you know, this is going to solve the world's, you know, suicide rate or any of that, but like every little thing that we do that is positive helps. I truly believe that. How did you know this would fill a space there?
I think it's because my whole life I've used positive affirmations on sticky notes to help me with my own confidence. And I knew how much of an impact it made in my life. And from the very beginning, we were a mental wellness focused company. You know, in the last few years, we've been in business 15 years. In the last few years, like I specifically created that sock with mental wellness in mind, but it's all mental wellness.
You are enough. The message is you are enough. There's also one for nurses and doctors, you guys, that just say great nurse. Where are people wearing these socks on their feet? Because I think they are pretty much global now. They're everywhere.
You know, we distribute at notestoself.com mm-hmm. and on Amazon and hospital gift shops, Hallmark stores, boutiques, airports. Corporate gifting is really popular.
Yeah.
We have socks that say, I'm appreciated, I am crushing it.
I love I am crushing it. And then there's little baby socks.
Yes.
When did you start doing the baby socks? I love them.
About 2 or 3 years in, they're very popular.
They're all low cut, by the way, and they are super comfortable. I've got a ton of them.
And we have tall ones.
Oh, do you have tall ones now, too?
Yes, and I brought you some pickleball socks.
We've got pickleball socks. So literally when they say, I am crushing it, you mean I am crushing it.
And these say, I love playing.
Oh, it says, I love playing. I love it.
Pickleball.
I love it. I can't believe this has been 15 years.
Yeah.
15 years. Talk a little bit more about the targeting of your subconscious, because that's where Sam loves this stuff, mm-hmm. where if you say over and over all of the things, even if you don't believe it in the beginning, we know this, research bears this out.
True.
That thing will get into your brain and become true.
True. You know, one of the examples that I learned early on was that if you took a piece of paper and you like fold it in half, I have a piece of paper here, there's a crease in the piece of paper.
Yeah.
And that represents like a thought going across the neural pathway in your brain. And every time you hear a thought like that, like, I am smart, I am beautiful, I am strong, I've got this, you make a deeper pathway and it's easier for that thought to travel across that pathway. But you know, many of us grew up with things around us that were not so helpful. And those types of things, I believe in the power of words so much that I won't even say an example of that. We all know what those are.
Yeah.
Those also create very deep pathways.
Yes.
And experts agree that it's not just enough to stop thinking those certain thoughts, but you want to replace them with positive thoughts and create a new pathway.
How do we get our young people to do that and practice that in their everyday lives, especially with social media out there? How do you get especially our young people to say, I am brave and I am strong and I am all of those things?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it starts with us. Yeah. I think a lot of times we as parents have been, depending on our age and, you know, mm-hmm. what we were around. I was around a very positive environment mm-hmm. growing up, but like, I think it's pretty common for adults to like in jokingly criticize themselves.
Oh, sure. We all do it.
Yeah. And I would say stop that, because your kids are watching. They're learning more from what they see you do and how you feel about yourself than they are about you saying to them, you're strong, so I would start with that. And one thing I always think about is think about the person that you treasure the most, you know, your child, your good friend. You would probably never put them down.
You would never say to them what we say to ourselves in our own brains sometimes.
It's true. And, you know, sometimes I'll be on the pickleball court, back to pickleball. It all goes back to pickleball.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'll be on a court and we play where if you win, you move up, and you lose, you move down. So you're with a new partner that you might not even know. And sometimes somebody, you know, I think in pickleball, you're afraid that you're letting your partner down if you make a mistake or whatever. Yeah. And sometimes my partner will say something negative about themselves. And I'll say, don't talk that way about my partner.
Don't talk that way about my friend.
Yes.
I absolutely love that. 913-586-7798 if you want to text in questions. Our guest here for the next segment, Laura Schmidt. The socks are amazing. Find them. Share them. Look down at your feet and smile. It is notestoself.com. We're back after this.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
So Laura's been a friend of mine for years. We had you on the show when this whole thing first started, many years ago.
Yes.
And one of the things that you posted said love story. And I went, oh, hell, are you doing love socks now? Because I'm in. This one right here says love story. We're going to put a picture of this on social because I absolutely love it. And on the toes, it says you plus me equals love story. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Can you believe it's been 15 years?
I know. It's gone really fast.
What does your family think?
They've been great. You know, they've been so supportive. Like, they've done everything along the way. My parents are 94, 93 and 84, and they still help with whatever we need. We just had a ribbon cutting in a new location, and they were there.
You are one of the most positive people I've ever met. I'm curious, when you do have a down day. You have to have a down day. Everybody has down days, you know, and it's easier to focus on the negative and you just continue focusing on the positive, which I absolutely love.
Thank you.
Yeah. We had this conversation, Sam and I, what was it, about a week ago or two? Well, it was maybe 3 weeks ago, Sam, now that I think about it. You were talking about the positive thought loop and how it works in your brain. And specifically, you were talking to Scott about it at the time, but can work for anybody, you believe, for any reason with respect to the power of positive thinking?
Oh, most certainly. And it can be as simple as, you know, waking up and going into the bathroom and saying, you're awesome, 15 times over and over again. It sounds silly. It feels silly. Quite frankly, if you were watching somebody else do that, you would think they looked silly.
Staring into the mirror and saying, I'm awesome.
But it works.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
It really is. And we have the power to do it. And guess what? It's free. It's free to keep thinking positive thoughts.
For sure.
Right?
For sure.
Yeah. What would you tell your younger self? And what would you tell anyone out there with a dream to start something like yours? Because I think many, many people think about it. Very few people turn it into the reality that you have.
You know, I think what I would say is, like, first off, just start taking little steps to see how you would do it. Like, if this is one thing that I always say that is kind of annoying to other people sometimes, but I say, you know, like when I'm talking to someone and they don't know what the answer is and they're like stuck, and I say, well, if you did know the answer, what do you think it might be? You know, and it takes you to that next step of letting your brain work on the answer instead of being stuck. But I have found that if I write things down in a goal kind of way, in a dream kind of way, like, wouldn't it be awesome if everyone in the U.S. knew about our socks and their life was improved because they started thinking more positively because they had the tools on them every day.
I truly have always thought there are two kinds of people, but you can be any kind of person, but there are really two kinds. Those who think about doing things and talk about doing them and say, what if? And then those who do it. And I've always been in the category, anyone who knows me, and part of that's my ADHD impulsivity, I'll just do it. And sometimes it works out. And sometimes it doesn't work out. But if you don't try, you're never going to know. And so if you're listening and you are one of those folks that you've always thought, I should really do that, or I should really travel, or I should really stop, take some time for myself and go do that thing. You can just as easily be in the camp of I'm going to do that thing than in the other camp of let's talk about doing that thing. If you verbalize it to me, it becomes the next thing. And I can name you 1,000 examples in my life where a lot of people would not have taken that fork in the road. And I'm like, what's the worst that could go wrong?
Yeah.
What's the worst that could go wrong? Try.
For sure.
Do you believe in the gratitude journal? Do you keep a gratitude journal?
I do believe in focusing on gratitude. Yeah, writing down three things that you're grateful for before you go to bed.
I've started doing that. And then every once in a while I set it down and I kind of get in cycles and I do the same thing with reading. But there is something nice at the end of the day, even writing down three things, and they can be silly things, right?
Mm-hmm.
To remind you that there is good all around us and there is good in your life. And even if you've had a bad day, the gratitude could be as simple as like the sock says, I am awesome. I am amazing.
For sure. You know, you asked about it, like someone thinking of an idea. You know, have you seen the old movie Babe?
Years ago, about the pig?
About the pig, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's one of my favorite quotes in there is, Farmer Hoggett knew that little ideas that tickle and nag and refuse to go away should not be ignored, because in them lie the seeds of destiny.
I love that so much.
Yeah. And I do think when you get an idea, it's like a whisper from God that is something that could help the world. I mean, this is what I believe, that all of us have unique gifts, and that if we can find a way to put our gifts to use in the world to help the world, I don't think there would be any problems. I don't think there'd be world hunger, mm-hmm. you know. So that's my wish for people. And through these words, I want to inspire people to be themselves, to, you know, do what really makes them light up.
Words matter. Gratitude matters. Wear it on your feet. The website is notestoself.com. Congratulations on 15 years. And thank you for the socks for Dan and Sam. They never get presents. Dan's like, are those orange? Laura Schmidt has been our guest. Thank you, thank you, and be well, my friend.
Thank you so much, Dana.
We're back with much more straight ahead, including a runaway alligator. Maybe we could give some socks to him. He's going to need them. Straight ahead. That's happening in Kansas City at Longview Lake. You're listening to Dana and Parks. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy. We have had a fun day here today. Talked about some orange things, and we talked about some serious things, and then we talked about some socks, and now we're going to talk about an alligator, which quite frankly is crazy. If you had said to me yesterday, you're going to talk about an alligator on the loose in Kansas City tomorrow, I'm going to go, whatever. But I think we know by now, just about anything is possible on Dana and Parks, and our good friend Phil Lavoda lives in the area where our new alligator friend has decided to take up residence. And Phil, I've been trying, because a lot of people are posting photos of this guy. I've been trying to track down someone who lives there, and quite frankly, I just forgot that you live there.
Well, this is out at our Jackson County Lake at Longview Lake.
Yeah.
So, and his name's not a fellow. His name is Longview Lou. So let's make sure we address him by his name.
Wait, Longview Lou. Thank you for that.
Exactly.
When did you first become aware that there was an alligator there?
We just found it out late last night, this morning. And so there was a park patron that says, I think that's an alligator out there. And sure enough, we called the Missouri Department of Conservation, our Jackson County Parks Department, and the Kansas City Animal Control. And they went out there and said, yeah, you've got yourself a juvenile 2-foot-long alligator living in Longview Lake. And so one of the perks of being county executive, you get to name people, and his name is Longview Lou. So they've been out there working on trapping and getting a hold of him. The Kansas City, the experts at the Kansas City Animal Control, said there's no reason for the public to panic. We didn't shut down the beaches or anything. And so Longview Lou is swimming around.
Let me ask you this.
Breaking
news. Yeah. Go ahead.
Breaking news. You heard it here first. Longview Lou has been trapped.
No!
He is.
Right now?
Yes. He has been caught. And he is in the custody of the Kansas City Animal Control right now.
You've got to be kidding me.
Nope. Longview Lou has been trapped. Now, I'm working on how much his bond will be, who he'll be released to, and for his trespassing in Longview. But he's such a good fella. And in all seriousness, what we speculate what happened is someone had this alligator as a pet and just released it, because alligators can't live in Missouri.
Clearly. Phil,
too cold,
clearly.
And die. Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah.
And you said they're now in the possession of Kansas City Animal Control.
Yeah.
Am I to read that they're headed to KC Pet Project?
Exactly. So if you want to go get a puppy or a cat, bring by KC Pet Project and see if Longview Lou's still there. I'm sure some people look at some alligator skin boots or something.
Seriously, Phil, all kidding aside, what does one do with an alligator that should not be in our area?
You know, that's I'm going to defer to the experts to tell me about our alligator, what you do with an alligator.
We would like you to connect us with Kansas City Animal Control after we get off the air, because I just want to know what is involved in trapping them. I mean, we've all seen those shows where, you know, you get close enough with that rope looking thing, and I've seen gator wranglers. But why was there no risk to the public at 2 feet long? And you know, my parents are down in Biloxi, so I do have some, I'm alligator adjacent in my family. I've been around a lot of them down south. Is 2 feet long right. just not, their teeth aren't sharp enough yet, or?
Well, I mean, if you walked up to a 2 foot long alligator and had him handed, he could bite you for sure.
Sure.
But the Department of Conservation people and animal control, they said, we'll find him.
We'll find him.
Too easy. The alligator's always up there. And here's what happened. Actually, a fisherman was out there and directed the Kansas animal control people to him. Here it is. Longview Blue's over here in this cove. And sure enough, they found him. And I'm hoping what we can do is send Longview Blue over to the Kansas Zoo. How's that for a rhyme? The Longview Blue goes to Kansas Zoo. Something like that.
It rhymes, and I think we should call our friends over at the zoo and say, are you missing an alligator? But I agree with you, Phil. I think that this was somebody that a long time ago thought, hey, it would be cool to get a baby alligator, and then all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, oh my God, now I have this gigantic thing that killed my cat. What do I do? And someone probably just released it at the lake.
Yeah. And we've heard some people, I didn't know anything about it, then I got on social media for the past couple days. There have been people posting about, I think there's an alligator at Longview Lake. And most people are like, no, there's not.
Look,
and
there
sure
was
enough,
a time that
was.
I saw a puma on State Line Road. And I know what I saw. And Animal Control came in this week and confirmed that. No one believed me. So if you said to me there's an alligator at Longview Lake, I would probably be in the camp of, I'm not quite sure I believe that. Truly.
Right.
All right.
I was in a meeting today and that shot across my text like, Mr. County Executive, we have an alligator in Longview Lake. And I'm like, okay, I'm trying to fix tax problems over here. Guys, I don't have time for this. Like, no, we really do. Like, okay.
All right. Well, please hook us up with our friends over at Animal Control. If you have a line straight to them, because I want to know legitimately what did they do to catch it, because I'm always curious when there's a funny story like this.
That's the best part of it. I sure will.
I know you have way bigger fish to fry, pun intended, this afternoon. So County Executive Phil Lavota, thank you for your time.
You bet. Good talking to you.
Be safe. Sweet Longview Lou. We had him on to talk about the wrangling and how many people were out there trying to catch him. And then lo and behold, he breaks the news. They just caught him.
Longview Lou is no longer
Sweet
on the loose.
Longview Lou. I love everything about that story. And I just posted a photo. Longview Lou is likely headed toward, I don't know, the zoo. That's why I want to talk to Animal Control. What do they do with something like that?
You're just walking through KC Pet Project. Here we have a puppy named Doug. Over there we have a kitten named Meow. And here's Longview Lou, who is not up for adoption.
Not up for adoption. If you missed the 2 o'clock hour, FanFest, which was one of the most incredible experiences today there and downtown for the march, with everyone wearing orange in town to support the Netherlands tonight. FanFest has temporarily been, I don't want to use the word closed. What do we call it, Sam? Because I don't want people to freak out. They closed it.
They closed it. They have
shut the gates temporarily due to lightning. Let's call it that. FanFest has temporarily shut the gates. They have asked people to leave because of lightning in the area.
As it stands right now with the forecast, they do not have any plans to reopen. If it does clear up, which is FIFA has an 8-mile lightning radius, both for games and for fan activities. If it does clear up, they will send out an announcement that they are reopening. I was actually talking with Dan Weinbaum in here a couple of minutes ago, and we were talking about how, man, the restaurants are going to be absolutely packed.
Yes.
So while the Orange Army can't celebrate at the fan fest that they want to, the restaurants are certainly going to be welcoming in a lot of people, a lot of soccer fans trying to find a spot to watch the game.
Yep. We will keep you updated on the fate of that match as well, because if you missed it, Busby said he thought with the 8-mile lightning radius rule that FIFA has for everyone's safety, it is an 8-mile radius lightning rule, that there is a high likelihood, he said, that the game will at least be delayed due to what we know is moving into our town.
Now, they will likely still play it.
Oh, yeah.
They just have to find windows where there's no lightning in that 8-mile radius. It was funny. I did see they put out over the loudspeaker at FanFest that they were, for lack of a better term, evacuating. Because that's what they were doing. They were evacuating the area.
They were asking people nicely to leave at a quick pace. Let's call it that.
But then they were playing the song. So, like, the fans are just doing their little left, right, dance thing. Take a different song. Closing time or something.
I absolutely love it. Dan's out dancing again. You weirdo. And so, look, we spent a little bit of time talking about kindness. Can we get back to that for a moment? Because I did something today, and I have not talked to you about it, Sam. Oh, and I haven't even told Johnny about this. He's going to probably listen to it on the air. I did something that I wish I could take back, but I'm also wondering how you guys would have handled this. I know the smart answer is to do exactly what I did, but the kind answer would be to maybe handle it in a different way.
Okay.
So I, you know, never to buy electronics on Facebook Marketplace. That's where you end up with a gun in your face. The statistics have shown that again and again and again.
Most of the cell
phones, gaming systems, gaming controllers.
Most of the crime Facebook Marketplace stories that we have told you on this program were all in relation to electronics.
Always electronics. Police will tell you the same thing. But when you're looking for a patio umbrella, I do not think anyone in history has ever been murdered or impaled over like home decor items, right? And so I go find, you know, once you start looking, Facebook starts shoving you patio umbrellas. And 4th of July is coming up. It's going to be scorching hot. We need a patio umbrella. And I found one locally, happened to be in Overland Park around 119th Street. So we were DMing back and forth. I said, I can Venmo you. I can be there before I get to work. So today, Sam, before work, I had a bunch of stuff on my plate, but I thought I've got about a 45-minute window. I'm going to go grab that umbrella.
Yeah.
So I DM'd. I thought it was a woman. Turns out it was a man. And I said, hey, I'm on my way. He said, great, drive safe. And you always wonder, like, I looked at the map. This was around 119th in the heart of Overland Park. I wanted to make sure, was this a house? Was this, like, what am I dealing with before I go? Are we meeting in a Quick Trip parking lot? Turns out this is in a residential neighborhood. So I pull up into the driveway. Very quiet neighborhood. There was nobody out and about. And I DM'd the person. I'm here. Right. I'm in the driveway. Waited a moment. Waited. Nobody shows up. I DM'd again. Hey, here, take your time, but I'm in the driveway. I don't hear anything. So by now, I'm like, I gotta get to work. I get out. I ring the doorbell. And there's a Ring doorbell, and it says, you are being recorded. Mm-hmm. Totally normal, right? And I step back on the stoop. Don't see anybody. So I head back to the car, and I got my puppy in the car. And all of a sudden, a man comes to the door. And I said, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Take your time. I DM'd you. I'm here for the umbrella. And he said, Dana? I said, yes. He goes, come on in.
No.
Okay. Knowing what I know now, I wish I could have this moment back.
Oh.
He goes, come on in.
Oh.
And I go, no, that's okay. I go, just bring the umbrella out.
Was he dressed?
Yes, he was dressed. Lovely man. Okay. Older gentleman. I'd say, 60, 65, 70, but so is John Robinson, right? So I'm like, I'm never going into some man's house. That is a non-starter.
Yeah.
I will never go into your house.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think, even if it was a woman and she said, oh my gosh, come on in, would I go into the house? I still think that's probably not best practice, okay? But we've just been talking about kindness and positive affirmation, and people in the world truly are good people. Until you like knock on one door and it's a serial killer, so you can't go in there. Like, I don't want to live in that world, but we do.
Yeah, is it Dahmer?
He looked at me like his heart hurt. Like, he did not understand why, because my reaction was, no, no. I said, is the umbrella? And he goes, it's in the back and it's in the patio. And I said, I'll walk around back.
Yeah.
And I wasn't mean about it.
No, I mean, that's the normal response.
He did have a look of confusion on his face, like, why wouldn't you just walk through the house? And maybe he doesn't have daughters. I don't know. So I walk around back. He could not have been a nicer human being.
Right.
Sam, the nicest, kindest, older gentleman.
And so was the happy face killer.
Who truly was puzzled when I said, no. And when he said, just come in, I got that feeling where your heart drops, and that's usually a woman thing. I'm not saying men don't get that feeling, but when you're feeling like I just went, oh God, no. I got that weird feeling, and then I get agitated. I'm like, no, I'm not coming in here. Not going to do that. And then he turned out to be the nicest, kindest man. He said, it has a cover. Would you like the cover that goes with it? I helped him remove it out back. Totally normal human being. They had a beautiful garden in the back. And then I left and I felt so awful about myself.
Why? You did nothing wrong.
Because I thought not everyone is crazy. And maybe this job has just conditioned us to think that we're crazy. That being said, if I had come home tonight, or if Mary Beth had come home tonight, and Johnny knew I was going to pick up this umbrella.
Right.
And I said, oh, I went into the house. This guy was lovely. Your reaction would be what?
Oh, hell no. You did what?
You would actually, I know that. And if you're listening and you have a daughter,
yeah.
You're listening and you have a spouse, and you think if they said to you, I went into this man's house to pick this up, I think the reaction from most loved ones would be, why the hell did you do that?
Now, to be clear, as a man, I have the same reaction. When I bought my workout equipment for my garage gym, I had to go into this random apartment in Grain Valley. You better believe, when I walked into that apartment, my head was on a swivel. I was looking for any potential threats in every single corner.
Right.
I mean, I turned into a tactical...
Okay, but 9 times out of 10...
Military person.
Watch your six!
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, or 999 times out of 1,000... It is fine.
Yeah.
But why are we conditioned to be so on guard when someone invites us into their home? Because I'm telling you, it's the job. It's the job. I'm a woman.
Well, it's also just the oversaturation of the negative news stories. We talk about them so much because they're interesting. And that also makes us more fearful of that happening to us.
Yeah. The nicest guy.
Not everybody's Dahmer. Not everybody's BTK or Johnny
right.
Robinson.
Right.
Most people aren't.
But then you think in that moment, why did I think, like, if something goes south, your last thought would be, I cannot believe I thought it would be okay to go into a stranger's house. This is not, you know, 1950,
yeah, no.
Right?
Mm-mm.
So why do I feel so guilty about it? Why do I feel so guilty about it?
Because you saw the reaction in him of, well, why do you think that I would be a threat?
I know, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. And then when I left, I go,
got to protect yourself.
Can I hug you?
No, you did not.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
I'm not a weirdo, I promise. 913-586-7798. We'll wrap up the hour straight ahead on Dana and Parks.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for it? From CBS News. Yes, pun intended. While details have been kept under wraps for one of the most anticipated pop culture events of the year, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's wedding, there is now speculation that the couple's big day will in fact take place at Madison Square Garden in New York City. The New York Times reported today that a permit has been filed by, quote, a prominent event planning company to close the streets around Madison Square Garden for an event July 4th weekend, with one city official reportedly leaking that the venue is planning to host the wedding.
All of the signs are pointing to a July 3rd wedding.
I'm so excited. Madison Square Garden has no windows. It has secluded entrances that could provide Taylor and Travis the privacy that they deserve for their wedding. Listen to this, quoting here. Quoting here from the wedding planner who helped plan JFK Jr. and Carolyn Bessette's wedding, if they do something at Madison Square Garden, there is no better place to bring sports and entertainment together. I cannot imagine, with the amount of people coming in and out, that it didn't get out until now. But if you're thinking they're going to hold this in a basketball arena, no. They're going to have a company trick out that space like you have never seen before. And I cannot wait for the official photographs of that. They deserve privacy. They've got entrances for buses to come in and out with tinted windows.
I can't wait for them to get married.
They deserve their day. I'm so excited.
Then we can stop talking about it.
Yep, you're right. I know. I'm just happy. I'm just overjoyed with happiness, Sam. I've got my happiness socks, and I'm happy they're getting married.
Oh, man.
When we get back on Dana and Parks, we have another bonehead criminal story. They've made a second arrest in that heist at a Missouri casino, of all the places one might rob.
Yeah.
A casino, really, in Missouri or anywhere, you should put that at the bottom of your list when you're planning your heist. We're going to talk about it. And would you step in if you saw someone robbing the cage at a casino? Someone did. We'll tell you about that straight ahead on Dana and Parks. Stick with us.
Get the podcast, KMBZ.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to download, like, and subscribe.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.